So let us go ahead and pray. So Father God, we just come before you today. And Lord, I submit to you. I surrender to you. I yield to you right now. And I call upon your name, Lord God. And I ask that you would move by your Spirit, Lord. That you would shake us and encourage us and even rebuke us where we need to be rebuked. But may not one person, including me, leave the same way we came. Come and change, come and move, come and shake, come and deliver, come and restore, come and speak to us today, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Everybody turn to Jonah chapter 1. And as you're turning to the book of Jonah, hey Daniel, how's it going, buddy? I love you. How many guys love Daniel, by the way? Amen. Jonah chapter 1, let me tell you about the life of Jonah, because everybody in this room should be able to relate to Jonah. You see, the book of Jonah was written in 1 month period of time, 30 days, 4 weeks. And what I love about Jonah is in every chapter, it's a very short book, you can read it in 20 minutes. But in every chapter, Jonah is running in a different direction. And so today, let me tell you what they are. Jonah chapter 1, he's running from God. How many of you guys have ran from God before? I know I have. But at any moment, you can make a decision to turn around. And so in Jonah chapter 2, he's running to God. How many of you guys right now, that's where you are. You're running to God. And I probably won't get to 3 or 4, but they're powerful. But Jonah chapter 3, he's running with God. What one man can accomplish when he says, yes, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'm completely all in. God can take one man and change a city. God can use one man to deliver 4 million people out of slavery because he said, yes, God, I'll do what you want me to do. God's just looking for one person who says, I'm in. How many of you guys are there right now? God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'm all in. And then Jonah chapter 4, he gets ahead of God. The dangers of getting ahead of God. Amen. So let's go ahead and dive right into this word. Jonah chapter 1, he's running from God. I want to talk to you about, there's basically 3 reasons why we run from God. But regardless of why we run from God, there's always consequences. Everybody say consequences. So Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, notice these words, from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. Sin always has a price, by the way. And went down in it to go with them unto Tarshish, here it is again, from the presence of the Lord. If we read verse number 10 once again, we see verse number 9 and 10, when they're trying to figure out, well, why are we in this storm? Why are we going through what we're going through? Jonah says, well, let me tell you why everyone's going through the storm. It's because I'm running from God. And so 3 times in Jonah chapter 1, 10 verses, we see the words, he's running from God. Now, I told you there's 3 reasons why we run from God. Jonah represents one reason why we run from God. Jonah is running because he don't want to do what God said do. The assignment that God gave Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and cry against it for their wickedness. Jonah had no problem preaching to the Jewish people. Jonah was a prophet. He was a man of God. He was a mouthpiece for the hour, and God was using him, and he had no problem preaching to his own people of his own culture and his own color. But when God told him, I want you to go to the Gentiles, I want you to go to a wicked city, I want you to go to the unbelievers, he said, no, I don't like my assignment. I'm going to go the opposite direction. One reason why we run from God is because God has called you, he has chosen given you. He has anointed you. He's given you an assignment. I've called you to do children's ministry, but you go the other way. I've called you to do worship, but you're running the other way. I've called you to be in the homeless ministry, but you're running the opposite direction. And that's one reason why we run from God. You're running from your assignment. How many of you guys know that you got an assignment? And God don't need another T.D. Jakes. He needs you to step up to what God has called you to do. See, I can't be nobody else. God's got an assignment for me that only I can step up to that platform and say, God, I'll go do it. But I ran from God before. God told me to do some things that I didn't want to do, Daniel, and I found myself running from God. How many of you guys have been there? You see, Adam and Eve takes up the second reason why we run from God. If we had time, we would go to Genesis chapter 3 and how God set them down in the garden. And he says, the whole garden is yours. Enjoy all of the fruit. But the one that's in the middle belongs to me. Don't eat it. That was the only restriction that they had in the whole garden. But guess what? They wanted what God said they wouldn't allow to have. You see, Jonah was running because he didn't want to do what God said do. Adam and Eve's running because they wanted to do what God said don't do. The second reason why we run from God is because we like sin. We want to live in sin. We like sexual immorality. We want to play around with sin. We want to go do what God said don't do. And the moment that we get out of God's word and we go decide to do what we want to do, guess what? We're running from God. Sin is the second reason why we run from God. Some in this building right now, you're running from your assignment. Others in this building, you're running because you love sin and that's what you want to live in. But I found out that there's a third reason why we run from God. The third reason why some people right now in this building are running from God simply because you're mad at God. Something happened in your life that has hurt you, has broken you. You don't understand it. And so you think that God is the one who caused that in your life. And you're running because you're mad at something that God allowed to happen in your life. I've been there. How many of you guys have been there? Can I tell you something? I told you about all the glamour and all the things that we've been involved in and how powerfully God has moved in our life and in our ministry for the last 4 years. But I didn't tell you about 3 years ago, 3 years and 1 week today. I was in outreach preaching to Tussle. Laying hands on people. We were baptizing people in water. 3 years, one week ago today. At the top of our ministry. And came home to find our 19-year-old son dead in our basement 3 years and 1 week ago today. Opened the basement door and there was our son. I stepped into his blood. He was cold. He was already in the presence of God. And to this day, we do not know what happened in that basement scene. It's still an open case today. And so I got on my knees the moment that we found our son. I got down in my knees in the pool of blood. He had a gunshot wound to the stomach. And in that basement scene, I began to cry out for God. I began to cry out that God would raise our son from the dead. And I got down on my knees and I said, God, give us our son back. Please raise our son from the dead. Only to see 20 minutes later after begging and pleading for God, the police would come and they would force me out of my basement and they would put that yellow tape up and they begin for the next 2 hours having an investigation and looking at the gun and figuring out all the pieces what happened. And then to watch them bring our son out in a body bag as I begin to plead the blood of Jesus and as I begin to pray and I had pastors that were surrounding me and family and friends that were there and I begin to cry out, Lord, you said that when I walk through the waters, you will be with me. And through the rivers, they will not overflow me. When I walk through the fire, I will not be burned. Lord, and I begin to quote scriptures as they were carrying our son out in a body bag. And then I felt like a failure. Have any of you guys ever felt like a failure before? And so that next day after that situation happened, I take all my pastor friends. Now notice we was at the top of our ministry and came home to find our world upside down, that our lives would never be the same. And so I text all my pastor friends and I said, I quit. This is it. I'm a failure. I can't do this no longer. I can't keep moving forward. And I told them all I quit. And for 3 days, I was wallowing in the mire. I was living in defeat. And I was telling her, I'm just done with the ministry. I can't do it no more. And I get mad and I was bitter. Has anybody ever been there before? But then after 3 days of wallowing in it, me and my wife and our daughters, one of them here today, we had to make a decision. We're not going to quit. We're not going to throw in a towel. We're not going to quit preaching the gospel. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to take what the enemy meant for harm, and we're going to go do what God has called us to do. We receive God's healing. We continually receive God's healing. You see, there are some people right now. You lost a home. You lost a child. You may have lost your son or your daughter or somebody that you love. Can I tell you something? The worst thing we can do is get mad at God. The worst thing we can do is blame God and run from God. But the best thing that we can do, we don't understand what happened in our life. We lose people that we love. We lost somebody that we love. Can I tell you, don't run from God. Make a decision. No, God, I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to run to you. See, Jonah chapter 2, that's what he's doing. Verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the belly of a fish. Verse number 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah into the dry land. Other words, in Jonah chapter 1, he's running from God. But here's what I found out. Even in the middle of the storm, even though he was thrown overboard, and literally he was drowning, there was seaweed that was wrapped around his neck. And then he got swallowed up by a fish. Can I tell you something? God knows where to find you, even if you're running from him, even if you're far from him. God can prepare a fish to swallow you up. See, God could have done, see, he could have gone ahead and drowned. But God, when we run from him, and we're outside of the thing of God's will, God loves you so much, so badly for you, that he will pursue you everything he does, because he wants you back. Amen? For the drop-in center, for some people, that's the fish that God prepared to save you from destruction. It could be a rehab program. That's the fish that God has prepared you. You shouldn't be here today. You've relapsed too many times, but God has kept you. God has protected you. Death has not been able to take you out, because God's still got a plan and a purpose and a future for your life. Amen? And so he's running to God. Let me tell you something, when we make a decision to quit running from God and run to God, there's several things that God, we benefit from. Number one, salvation. Everybody say salvation. I thank God that when I was a teenage boy running from God, living in my sin, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, drinking alcohol, smoking weed, and I thank God that I had a great wife, I had a great mother, and a great grandma, and a great hall, who were praying for me, and praying the conviction of God. I'm here today because they stood in the gap. Even when I was running from God, they were believing that God was going to save me. Some of you right now, some loved ones, are way out there. They're getting hurt. They pursue, but oh, God, God can still save them and deliver them and restore them. I come to tell somebody, don't give up on them. Keep on praying. Keep pleading the blood. Keep speaking the name of Jesus. Keep believing God for their breakthrough. Amen? Salvation. Another benefit of running to God is healing. Why is it that when we get sick, or when we get the word of cancer, the first thing we do is we run to the doctors? I have nothing against running to the doctors, but somebody needs to realize that one of the benefits of running to God is he's the great physician. He's the healer. Has anybody been healed of anything in this house? Mama tell you, they used to take me to the doctor every week because I had seizures. I had to take medication every day because I had seizures. But one day I was at an altar. I don't know, in Harrison, Ohio, the doctor, power of God, I've had a seizure in almost 30 years. We serve a healing God. There is no sickness, no disease, no infirmity greater than the name of Jesus. I come to tell you that I still believe that by His stripes we are and were healed. I believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. I say we run to God. Keep running to the altar. Keep getting laid hands on and believe for your miracle. Amen. Salvation. Healing. Deliverance is another benefit that when we choose to quit running from Him and run to Him. God is a delivering God. If God deliver me, He can deliver you. If God was able to deliver 4 million Jews out of slavery, don't you think He's able to deliver you? There is no addiction that is greater than the body of Jesus. You don't need to go to program. You just need to run to God. He is a delivering God. I have no problem with 12-step programs, but there's nothing that will outweigh running to God and saying, God, I'm addicted. I'm bound. I don't know how to get free from this, but Your word says, whom the Son of Man sets free, He is free indeed. Lord, deliver me. Deliverance, salvation, healing. Our benefits of running to God. Let me tell you about another one. Forgiveness. There is no sin besides the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive you of. God can save and forgive even a child molester when they make a decision to run to God. His blood is that rich. His blood is that powerful. Where you have been, that God is not able to forgive you. My Bible tells me that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all. Everybody say all. From all unrighteousness. And so I love what it says in Psalms 103, verse number 12. Let me see what time we got. 18 minutes, doing good. He said, as far as the east is from the west. He said, that's how far I can remove your sins from you. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Because I thank God that God did not say in Psalms 103, verse number 12, as far as the north is to the south. Did you know that you can get on the interstate right now or get in an airplane and begin to fly north? You need an airplane to this. Fly north far enough and reach the purple. You will go north, you'll be going south. If God would have said, as far as the north is to the south, that's how much I'm willing to forgive you and remove your sin from you, that would have made God's love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness limited. It would mean that you could only relapse so many times, only go back to the bottle so many times, only mess up so many times, and God would say, oh, you reached your limit. But God did not say as far as the north is to the south. He said as far as the east is from the west. Me and my wife went to Israel in 1999. How many guys have been to Israel? We flew to New York City, got on another plane, and we flew to Tel Aviv. Can I tell you something? That was 18 years ago. If we would have never gotten off of that airplane and it never hit our gas, we'd still be on the right. 10 years now, we never did. It's still a horse for our gas. 10 years from now, we'd never go to us right. We'd be in the chest. And His love for you is unlimited. His grace for you is unlimited.
House in the house shifting today. And it's going to be a house of healing and deliverance, and people's going to come from all over, and they're going to come in the river of God, and the word's going to go out. Hey, the river of God is there, and people's going to come, and people's going to be healed, and they're going to be set free.
Glory. Give the Lord a praise. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, speak. And so for 20 years, we made caskets. 15 years welding and grinding a Batesville casket, full-time ministry, but always worked our own way. 5 years Aurora casket. And when we lost our son 3 years ago, we was down to $18. I know a lot about caskets, but I know nothing about prices. 1,250 caskets a day. Every 51 seconds, we made a casket. It was going out the door. But I preached a lot of funerals, but I've never had to pay for one. I didn't know what it was going to cost to bury our son. But the Lord specifically told me in my prayer life, I knew I was down to $18. And I said, God, we got $18 to bury our son. We're down to nothing. And God said it's going to cost $10,000 to bury your son. Me and my wife, my daughter Star, my mom, my sister here today on the front row, my other two daughters, our grandchildren. We went down to the funeral home. We picked out his casket, picked out the flower arrangements. We picked out where we was going to bury him. We went and secured a lot. We calculated everything up that it was going to cost to bury our son, knowing we got $18, we're down to nothing. $10,000, just what God said, $10,000 to properly bury our son. Looking at debt, I posted on Facebook twice. It's still there. I haven't deleted anything. It's there as evidence that God is a providing God. I posted twice. Body of Christ, family and friends, this is our darkest hour. We need you more today than we ever did before. We set up an account at Fifth Third Bank. Anyone can walk in and say we want to deposit towards Jeremiah David Turner Memorial account. And one by one, people begin to walk into those Fifth Third Banks and deposit crazy amounts like it was everything they got. $23.50, $50, $100, a little country church smaller than this. They picked up a spontaneous offering after they picked up tithes and offering. They heard what happened. I preached there one time, a little small country church in the middle of nowhere. God spoke to them. They picked up an offering, $1,700. They went and deposited it. I calculated every one of those deposits before I got up and preached my son's funeral. $10,000 came in. See, you can't tell me that God is not a providing God. I've seen too many miracles. I've seen him provide for us when we was down to nothing. Amen? And so they tried to talk me out. I wrote the checks out. I said, hey, I want to write the check up before I get up and preach. And they tried to talk me out of it. The funeral home, no, you don't have to do that now. Let's do that after service. I says, no, when I get up in that pulpit and preach my son's funeral, I want the devil to know that we serve a good God. We serve a providing God. He can make a way where there is no way, that we're not going to throw in a towel. I'm going to preach my son's funeral, and I'm going to do it debt-free. Then the next day, somebody say the next day. The next day, I posted on Facebook, family and friends, $10,000 came in. Thank you very much. God has provided for us. Somebody, that next day, after we preached that funeral, today, I don't even know who it is. Could have been a man, could have been a woman, could have been a child, it could have been an angel from heaven. 3 years ago, somebody walked in the day after I preached my son's funeral, which would be exactly today, the 20th. Walked into that Fifth Third account with cash in her hand and deposited $10,000 cash into that account. God didn't give me $10,000. He's Jehovah Jireh. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And God was saying, I'm not just able to meet that need. I'm able to double that, and I'm going to show you double for your trouble. I come to tell somebody today, double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. Because you chose not to run from God. Because you chose not to be mad at God. Because you chose not to be bitter at God. But you are trusting Him, seeking Him, calling upon Him. God says double for your trouble. Amen? Everybody stay on your feet. Double for your trouble. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you're struggling with right now, but one thing I can tell you is that God is a good God. Amen? And even when you don't understand it, yes, some music playing, but even when you don't understand, and even when it hurts you with everything in it, you can trust God. You see, before I lost my son, and what I didn't tell you is 1 year after we lost our grandson, my son, I was preaching my grandson's funeral, who died of SIDS. We watched him gasp for air for 8 hours. as we were singing the song in the background, you are a good, good father. Because regardless of what your circumstances are right now, or what the situation is, I come to tell you that God is still a good God, and He's still on the throne. Amen? We shouldn't get mad at God and get bitter at God. Let's run to God today. If you're here today and you have lost someone that you love and you've been hurting, and that's you, you're hurting right now, can I tell you something? Keep running to Him. You know what one of my biggest prayers are now? Lord, even now, when grieving comes on me, and it's important to grieve, amen? Because it shows that we loved our son. We loved our grandson. We honor him. We respect him. And it hurts that he's no longer with us. And so whenever that comes on me, I'll tell the Lord. I said, Lord, this hurts me. It's okay to tell the Lord that it hurts you. Amen. And then I tell the Lord, I don't understand it. This doesn't make sense to me. We was at the top of our ministry. Lord, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. It hurts me and I don't understand it. But then I put a but in it. You got to have a but in it. I said, Lord, this hurts me and I don't understand it, but I trust you. But I continue to run to you because you are my healer. You are my comforter. You are my deliverer. And even though I can't figure it out, even though this hurts me, I'm still choosing to serve you and follow you and honor you and worship you. See, anybody can worship God when the bank account's full. When everybody's on your side, when everybody's speaking well of you. But what do you do when all hell's come against you? Can you still raise your hand? Can you still preach? Can you still prophesy? Can you still serve God when everything is against you? I come to tell you that when you can worship God in the middle of your pain, when you can worship God in the middle of your struggle, when you can worship God when you're hurt, when you're in pain, and when you're confused, can I tell you something? It gets heaven's attention. You want to get heaven's attention. You want to see miracles happen in your life. You want to see doors open for you and windows open for you. Keep running to God. Keep seeking God. Keep calling upon God. My Bible tells me, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Amen. Amen. Double for your trouble. Everybody say it. Double for my trouble. Say it again. Double for my trouble. When I'm down to nothing, all right, let's say it all. When I'm down to nothing, God's up to something. Say the whole thing. When I'm down to nothing, God's up to something. Pastor, let's go ahead.